All three Apollo 11 astronauts also resigned shortly after their return. On the 25th anniversary of the event, in 1994, Neil Armstrong made a rare public appearance and held back tears as he spoke these brief cryptic remarks before the next generation of taxpayers as they toured the White House.
Today we have with us a group of students among America's best. To you, we say, we have only completed a beginning. We leave you much that is undone. There are great ideas undiscovered, breakthroughs available to those who can remove one of truth's protective layers. Close your eyes.
You're listening to Fakeologist Audio, a periodic audio where I explore the world of media fakery. You can find my blog at fakeologist.com, where you'll find all the links to the live stream and audio archives. You'll also find links to my sublogs, forums, email, PayPal, Twitter, and YouTube. We now use Discord for all our interactive audio and text. To join in on any live conversation, go to our main page and connect to the Discord server on the right, or visit bit.ly/fakechat. Now, here's your host, the Fakeologist, Avarado. Oh, God, you gotta love the Beatles, don't you? It is Monday night, March 19th, 2018, and wow, another show. Second show in a row. Fantastic. I don't know where I'm getting all this energy, or I don't know where all these guests are coming from, but in a word, it's great. I think at the beginning of spring, when there's more light, human beings are more energized. The light is just a fantastic life force, and I know we're still in a deep freeze here on the North Shores of Lake Ontario. Oh, by the way, I'm the Fakeologist, old name Avarado, but I like to go by Fakeologist these days, and I do a podcast called Fakeologist Radio. I have a website called fakeologist.com. It has sub-sites, Morab, Flat Earth, and EGI.fakeologist.com. Those three are kind of hidden away in the back. Fakeologist.com will bring you right to the blog. I've been saying for months I'm going to create a new landing page at Fakeologist.com. I was actually thinking of making a page just chock-a-block full of links, sort of like biglies.org. But obviously in the last show, we had a little bit of negative feedback about biglies.org where there were too many links on the main page. But I don't know, it's kind of neat to have everything on one page. I don't know how it looks on a mobile device or a tablet or a phablet. It might not fit, and you might need to reformat it somehow, but it was just an idea where I thought, well, we can go to fakeologist.com and create some kind of pathway like IKEA. If you've ever been in an IKEA store, you go in the front and they take you through a maze through the store, which forces you to cover the entire store. In other words, it's not designed just to go in and get a light bulb and get out like the Home Depot. You literally have to go in, get lost in it, and hopefully drop a couple $1,000s on stuff you probably didn't intend to get in the first place. And Fakeologist, if I could just bring people in and then lead them around, instead of just coming to the first page, seeing a story they're not interested in, and then just buzzing out. Because there's so much more to Fakeologist.com. My goodness, in 2018, the year of our Lord, what a site it's become. We've got the main blog, we've got the sub-blogs, we've got the forums that are not that easy to find, but some people are exploring them and are editing and adding to them, like Xyle Felix, or X-Files, as some people like to call them. We also have the fantastic Fakeopedia, that I haven't done anything on, but Gaia and Faye have done. And then, of course, we've got the audio archives, which now we have almost 450 audio chats, some of which I've been on. And we've got This Is Fakeologist episode 187. And we've got tons of archives, but I have to admit, they're not that easy to find. So we're going to have to figure out a way to make them easier for the millennials or the Generation Zs to find. And I don't even know how easy they are to find on their smartphones, because that's what these younger people are on today. Us fogies, we are on full computers. I've built my own computer, and I'm on a 20-inch monitor, and even that's not big enough. How do these millennials or Generation Zers, how do they work with a 5-inch screen? How the hell can they see? I'm really trying to encourage people to go buy computers with big screens so you can at least have some room to maneuver and room to work. Anyway, let's go to my show notes, because if I don't read my notes, then I forget totally. As we get older, it gets harder to remember things off the cuff. I want to thank my latest patrons. That's right. You know who you are. I've actually mentioned them before, but I'm just going to mention the latest patrons, and even if I've mentioned them before, because they are very important to the site and its development. And the latest ones are Hando and Faye, and I'll go back a little farther, Farce Value, Simon Shack, Nick R. Thanks very much. My favorite contributors are people that actually do work on the site, but if you are not one of those people and you would like to contribute, hit the PayPal button. You can subscribe to $1.19 a month, which is just the token less than a coffee cup amount, where it just shows that you are interested and you want to see things keep going. You can make other donations. I really appreciate it. It's just mainly encouragement, but it also defrays some costs. We have a new service that I've started called FakeTube. And I'm going to probably make that a little easier to navigate. It's not really supposed to be a YouTube where you guys can just upload whatever you want. But what it is any YouTube I find really good, I'm going to put on FakeTube. That way it won't disappear when the YouTube channel inevitably disappears. That is the point of that. So I thank my subscribers and my patrons. We're only going to use, by the way, PayPal. I already took the link off of Bitcoin. I'm not doing that. I never got any donations anyway, despite one person who said he was going to send me one of the cryptocurrencies. But I just don't want to be bothered with it. It's too much of a headache, and I couldn't quite figure out what a wallet was and the different things that were going on my computer. At one point, it ate up my entire C drive and was putting all kinds of blockchains all over my computer. I just, you know, I don't want to deal with that. We'll just stick to U.S. currency as long as everyone else is recognizing it. We'll just stick to PayPal. I don't want to use Patreon. They take too big of a cut. And I know that Patreon uses the idea of social proof, where you see others and it supposedly will encourage you if you see that 50 people are at this level. We're not going to do that. It's just too much, and I don't think they deserve a bigger cut than even PayPal gets. So I'm just going to stick to PayPal for now. It seems quite ubiquitous. It's quite universal, and I'm going to stick to that. Now, if you want to join in on today's call, this is the protocol. Because this is a main show, we use the Discord, so you have to get a Discord account. And if you want to call in, if you want to talk to the guest, who is A.A. Morris, by the way, A.A. Morris, a Propagander podcast, he is our main guest. If you want to talk to him, then you go to the green room. The green room is the holding area, and already we have quite a few people in the green room. So anyone in the green room, that means you want to come in and talk. And I think, in order to make it fair for the guests, that what we'll do is we'll just stick to a question or two, and then we'll go to the next green room waiting person and let them ask a question. Now, this is because this is more of a one-on-one interview, I don't want one person to derail the whole conversation. So just stick to a question or two and then withdraw and then go back to another room. Go to the audio chat live stream if you want. But otherwise, we would want to give everyone a chance to talk to A.A. Morris tonight. That's the format. And I will remove you from the main show once you've asked your question or two. Now, if you're smart enough to remember, you can listen live to the broadcast tonight. It's at fakeologist.com/radio2. And there's a link there to the live stream. And there are buttons that work on your smartphone and your tablet and your phablet, so you can listen live on the audio stream. And that's the only way to listen live, because you cannot come into the main show audio channel and just sit there and listen, because this is where we have the single guest and nobody else to come in to interrupt. All right. I think I've covered everything for tonight. Now I'll get right to my special guest, whose name is A.A. Morris of the Propaganda Podcast. He is now unmuted. Welcome, Double A.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Fakeologist.
Oh, thank you. And is it okay to call you Double A, or do you have a...
That's fine. That's perfect.
All right, Double A it is. And... It's just a little easier than AA_Morris. And I got that, Double A used to be a caller on the Howard Stern show. And I'm guessing that you know Howard Stern, because just listening to your podcast, you sound, if I had to bet, you're from Long Island.
Oh, no, I'm actually from Jersey.
But that's
pretty good guess, though.
But no, yeah. That's a bad guess. You're the other way.
The suburbs, it's all the same thing over here.
I thought you had a bit of a Long Island accent, so I was totally wrong.
It's my family, my mother's from New York City, so it's possible I have a mixture of an accent that's New York, so.
Okay, but then you still know who Howard Stern is, and I'm sure you might
have listened to him. Oh, of course, no, actually, yes, I used to listen to him, and actually I stopped listening to him on September 11th, actually.
Oh, did you really?
Because I was listening to him that day, driving into the city, and I was just explaining this before, and when he announced that the plane hit, the first one,
yeah,
I remember thinking it was, like a little plane or something.
Yeah.
And then I turned on, like a real news station, on the radio, and then, we were listening to it, and I was saying this before, I regret not turning around when I had a chance on the West Side Highway. Because we saw the police cars go up the other side, and they started closing the highway down.
Interesting. So you were you were as close as can be.
Well, and then I was, I went to work like I was supposed, because I had a meeting, and I was very stupid. I should have just went the other way. But
whereabouts was work?
It was it was actually, I was working at ABC at the time.
Okay. In the media? Ooh.
Well, no, actually not in that. They do other things. So I wasn't actually in that part of it.
Okay.
There's other aspects to it. There's.
But I meant, I didn't mean what company, but that's fine. You revealed it. But where were they? Were they on Manhattan Island?
You know how many people they, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Oh, you were on, so you were going, the West Side Highway is on Manhattan Island.
Yeah. And then the place was over by Central Park.
Oh, man. Okay. So yeah.
Nice, by the way.
Did you run into a traffic jam then?
No, we got in all right, and then that was the mistake, though, because then they shut everything down, and the only way to get out was through Penn Station. So that they had everyone down at Penn Station, I guess.
You couldn't drive out?
No, you couldn't. I left the car parked. I forgot. I don't even remember how much it cost when I went back the next week, because I didn't go back to work either. Okay. I wasn't going anywhere near the city after that. And all I wanted to do was get as far away as possible.
What about the people that were allowed to walk over the bridges off the island?
I don't even know I don't know.
So you were channeled to Penn Station? That was the only, and that's a train station?
That was the only, and they were letting just a few out at a time. I think. It was something like that. And then we ended up in Newark, and I had to have someone come pick us up. Yeah, it was a pain, and it was really inconvenient, to say the least.
Oh, okay. But do you think people are actually...
And then we went home and watched it on TV for the next 4 days.
But do you think there are actually people walking over the bridges then? The mass exodus that was in the media?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Yeah, you don't
I have
know.
No idea.
You just know that... How did you know to go to Penn Station to get off Manhattan Island?
That's a good question. I honestly don't remember.
No, that's fair. I guess it's a blur now, right?
Yeah. Now it's definitely a blur. But all I could say is I didn't see anything. I have nothing to add. I have no evidence of anything. I don't know anything. There was nothing. I'll tell you this. I was driving in. I didn't see any planes flying overhead. I didn't hear a plane.
What time were you driving in? Because didn't the whole movie start at 8:56 or so? Was it before?
Yeah, I must have been on the road, I guess, when that was supposed to happen. See, I don't know, because the whole thing's so confused. It's just impossible to try to figure it out.
It just shows how unreliable eyewitness accounts are.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, this is not something, the whole story with 9/11 is just a farce. So there's nothing.
Do you wish you wrote it down?
It'd be different if it was believable.
No, do you wish you wrote down what happened on that day for yourself?
No, because it doesn't change anything. I didn't see anything relevant at all.
Here's a funny story. No, it's because my dad witnessed a car crash years ago. He's just telling me. Mm-hmm. So he's such a fastidious type of engineer that when he got to work, he wrote everything down because he knew he might be called into as a witness. And he contacted the police, said, yeah, I witnessed this crash, and I have an account. Would you like it? And the cop says, yeah, go ahead, read it. Yeah, read it. So he read it over the phone. The cop said, nothing like that happened at all. We don't need that. That's totally wrong. So he just said, my dad's not stupid. He's a very intelligent.
Yeah.
And so he said, what are you talking about? This is exactly what happened. So no, that's not what we heard. That's not the accounts we got. So we can't use that. So, I mean, the whole purpose of him writing it down right away was so he wouldn't, he wouldn't change the story. He wouldn't, because as we know, everything can be changed in your mind and when you're influenced by others.
Yes.
So he was just dumbfounded. And I said, yeah, it just proves that they don't actually care about witnesses, especially with car crashes, because they know they're unreliable. And here's the cop just verifying that. So he said, oh, okay. So there you go.
The insurance covers it all, so what difference does it make?
Well, they just have ways. They look at the damage and they just figure out from the damage, and then it's just a best guess, and they just distribute the money accordingly. They don't really. Yeah, everyone gets their share. Yeah. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
The truth takes a back seat to everything.
Well, it's not important. It's not as important as you might think. No, because it just becomes a business transaction where they just reallocate the money.
That's what matters. Yeah. Exactly. That's what really matters. Yeah. That's basically it. So we can argue about details about what we think the truth is, but what really matters is that.
So on 9/11, where were you in the way you think? Were you just a regular guy that...
Yeah, I bought into the media narrative. I was upset that George Bush stole the presidency from Al Gore or whatever, the whole thing, yeah. Yeah, sure, yeah.
So you were...
Yeah, bit, I got sucked in.
You were a bit on the left, so you were a Democrat? Yeah, okay. Because even at that time, I was on the other side, so I was pleasantly cheering for the Republican side. I had no problem with it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I have friends who are Republicans. Yeah. That's fine. I never had a problem with that.
problem with Shrub winning, but as I like to call George Jr.
Well, in retrospect, I kind of can appreciate him now better than I used to. So,
yeah.
Once you know the deal, it doesn't matter. So. He's a funny guy.
I can't tell if he's really stupid or really smart. And that's perfect if you're just trying to keep people destabilized.
I have a feeling he's smart, not stupid.
Yeah,
that's just my guess. That's just my wild guess there. But yeah, I have a feeling
he's smart. I really don't. Yeah, I don't think we can really know, actually.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you completely. But it wouldn't surprise me if he was really smart, or if Trump was really smart and not what we see on the screen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can't be stupid to be put in that position. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think. You would think.
Yeah. For all we think of them as actors, you still have to be a really sharp person. You can't be a dope.
Yeah. No, if you watch Trump, he knows how to handle himself, you know. And I don't think that's all scripted. I think it's off the top of his head or something. You know what I mean? I think he improvises.
Yeah, I think he's very good at improv. I agree with you.
Yeah.
If you look at his shtick, it's pretty limited, though. He has the same shtick.
Oh, my God,
And I can't – I don't watch him. I don't follow him. I just
– He's a caricature of himself.
Yeah, yeah.
He used to make more sense. Like, he used to at least try. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we used to hear him on the Stern show as well. And
he
really sounded like a decent guy to take that office if he ever wanted. But, I have so many different views now that I'm on the other side and understand how the media works. Now I'm almost as confused as ever, but I'm pretty sure I'm on solid ground with my thinking. So anyway, back to 9/11. So you weren't really you didn't really understand media manipulation at that point.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So
not
when
for
did
a long, long time.
Okay, so what was the first thing that made you start getting on to the fakeologist point of view? What year was that, and what triggered you?
I started researching UFOs.
Okay.
For some reason, I can't remember exactly why, but then I got into the Tesla, you know, the secret space program stuff, the electrogravity.
Well, why did what year did you start looking into
UFOs? That was like 20. I want to say 23 years ago. So probably around 2014, 2015. Right, it's been about 3 years, I would say.
Oh, okay. So I'm 2012. I'm way.
Yeah, I know. I'm impressed. Yeah, I'm really impressed.
That's not even that impressive.
No, I know. Well,
11
for me,
years later,
I think that's neat. Yeah, but still, you beat me. That's cool. I think.
Yeah.
When I look at all the stuff you have, I'm like, wow, he has it all down.
I think a little bit.
It just cracks me up. No, many things I didn't get at first, and it took me a while to realize you were right about.
So you're doing.
I don't want to go off on a tangent.
No, you were doing UFOs.
The thing about the Zapruder film that you pointed out with the puppet, which you linked to someone else.
Yeah, that's gone now. That's Polarization Nation. That was really a valuable.
That was a great idea. Yeah,
it's too bad. I got to get that video. If anyone has that video, just send it to me, and I'll have to repost it because it's gone. I contacted Polarization Nation, but if he's on the good side, he certainly hasn't responded to me. So
that explains the sign there. That explains a lot, and I never thought of that. That's such a great explanation.
Scratch my head now. If that guy's on the good side, the guy that did that.
Well, and it was still a good idea.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Take that away. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could keep that. But 9/11. What were we talking?
You were
about?
Talking about UFOs. So why were you looking at UFOs?
Oh, that's right. That's right. I don't even remember why, but one thing led to another, and I ended up down like the rabbit hole watching that guy with the wig who killed himself, supposedly on Jim Fetzer or whatever.
Oh, yeah, that's Ace Baker.
That little guy. Yeah, Ace Baker,
Yeah.
So I didn't watch
Great American Psy Opera.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch Simon Shaq's The Good Video, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I didn't watch the
Well, I watched The Great American Psy Opera first.
Yeah, I guess that's what I saw, too. I saw the little guy. Yeah. But since I know how to use After Effects, you know, a 2D animation program, once I saw what he was explaining, it clicked.
Yeah.
So that was it, you know.
I'm not saying it was a bad video. It wasn't a bad
series. It just
series.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah, but
the
I don't
American
know.
Psy
I don't
Opera, I thought it blew me away more than anything. And it wasn't the first one I found. I was going through probably Alex Jones' site, because as you might have read to my Rabbit Trail site where I outlined how I got to where I was on Howard Stern, and then I heard Jesse come in, Jesse Ventura, or whatever his real name is, Giannis Stanos, and he was going on about 9/11 and just questioning it, and I thought, oh, that's good, and then I had I wanted more Jesse, so I did a search, and that brought me to Alex Jones, who he talked to quite often. So then I was on Alex Jones, and Alex Jones said he had all these movies. So I started watching the 9/11 movies on Alex Jones's hit list. And just one thing just led to another. You know how the internet works. You just see one thing and it leads to another. And then I got to the Great American Psy Opera, and I thought that was it. I thought that pretty much was the explanation.
Yeah.
It was pretty.
That has the nose out, right?
That video.
And it was, he was saying it was live though.
He was saying it was live. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
But I wasn't content with that. I just wanted more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
I wanted more discussion,
yeah,
more details, and of course that led to September Clues.
Yeah.
And there hasn't really been anything more definitive since then. There is nothing else. That's the end, that's the end of the line.
Yeah. I ended up at Clues Forum reading their stuff there. But yeah, definitely. I'm in their work with that. And like I said in the podcast, I think the most dangerous idea on Clues Forum is the vixen.
Oh, sure.
Because as we see they're sensitive to it. It seems there's evidence they're sensitive to it. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. So how long did you get to, from UFOs in 2015 to so how much longer did it take for you?
It didn't take long. The 9/11 thing, what occurred to me was they didn't just wake up, you know, January 1st, 2001 and plan that.
Yeah.
So then you pull at the string and the whole thing starts falling, basically. I mean, you know, we know.
So it only took you a few months to unravel it for yourself?
I don't remember exactly. Yeah. You know, and it's all in stages, so you go through different layers of it. You believe different things at different times, and then, you know, I'm at the point now where everything's fake, pretty much. So,
well, of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, everything has
a while
element
to get there, right?
But what happened? Were you like me when you found out you wanted to tell somebody or 15 people, like your mother, your wife?
My mother thinks I'm half crazy. Yeah, I know. My wife, she understands though, so she understands better. So she gets it.
Does she like talking about it though, or does she just say, "Oh yeah"?
Not really. No. I think she doesn't really care.
No.
So there's that. But she's not surprised.
That's the same as my wife. She doesn't really care, but she was home on 9/11 and watching the movie unfold on the television. I was at work, and I actually was at a workplace where I was sitting in front of a computer, and the internet was pretty much down in terms of trying to get to the CNNs and the other news sites. They were just displaying text. They couldn't even supply the graphics at that point. So I was having a hard time finding out what was happening.
Yeah.
I was really it was.
You were supposed to be watching the news.
Yeah, well, we didn't have a television in the office, so getting it through the internet was tough. It was not, it was not coming through.
We did have a television on in the office, and it was turned on.
Yeah, of
and
course.
And which is interesting that, you know.
Were you tuned to ABC?
Yeah, of course. That's a as long as you have the channel on you're working for, you can watch whatever you want.
Was that Peter Jennings then?
No, I think he might have been there, and then he got cancer and died after that, didn't he? Is he the one who
was a couple of years later, but was he doing the ABC coverage?
I think it was him. Yeah, I think, but I didn't work in the news part, so I, you know, wasn't there while he was doing it. I think it was him. I don't even know if I watched ABC News back then, to be honest with you. I don't even remember. I might have watched NBC News when I got home. It's not something I even remember what I used to. Actually, I might have watched CNN.
No matter what, you remember where you were that day.
Well, it says here.
Here in New York, it was a beautiful
Peter Jennings was on 9/11.
Here's some of our coverage. Peter Jennings, anchoring.
So it is no wonder that all across the country today, at airports and at public sites, many, many which have been closed from the west all the way across to the east, people are holding their breath. Don't wish to be melodramatic about it. Are holding their breath. Sake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'll just post a link to that in the...
Yeah, that's a bit over the... Geez.
Yeah, the audio's kind of low on that. Yeah, that's Peter Jennings.
I mean, he's really good, but I mean, holding their breath, I mean,
a great Canadian, by the way.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah. I mean, these guys are really talented, these newsmen, obviously.
I'm going to post that in, just so people know, on the Fakeologist Discord server, we have a text channel called Live Stream Show Notes Only. That's where I put the notes that I'm talking about now, and then I usually click and paste, cut and paste, and put them in on the blog. Please don't chitty chat in the Live Stream Show Notes Only. You can chitty chat in the Live Stream Chat. And that's where if you can even look yourself as your AA if you want to look in there, and you can see maybe people are talking and whatnot. Sometimes they put questions in there, that kind of thing. But
Let me just focus on the interview.
Yeah, no, focus on that.
I don't want to click anywhere just in case I click off something. Right?
Yeah, you don't want to click off, but yeah, that's.
I'm new to this interface.
Yeah, it's a fascinating interface, and it's funny because.
Oh, it's great.
I was using TeamSpeak before, and it didn't. It was missing one thing, a widget to display on my fakeologist.com page, so people didn't really know who was in there. It was pretty much the same thing, but this one's a little prettier. It's got more color, and you can see on the main page who's in the chat, so people have come to it. And this is the whole thing about computers and marketing. You just never know for sure what's going to catch on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay. I'm pretty flexible. So if something's not working, I'll flip it out and try something else. So it's great that people on the Fakeologist have come to the Discord, and we've got so many neat voices and whatnot. So
it's just been
tremendous. I just hope the Discord doesn't go down like YouTube in the same circumstances where this is too controversial. They got to edit it and shut it down because, according to Lift the Veil, they already shut down some of the white nationalists, you know, the controlled groups that have the anti-free speech, just have the anti-politically correct speech, and they get shut down. I'm pretty sure they're controlled, though, and it's just done by design to just warn people not to go off the beaten path too much. Otherwise, you're just going to be they're just controlled examples, really. That's the way I look at some of these groups, these so-called hate groups.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that idea. And then it's to get us to self-censor, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, not that YouTube doesn't take your channel down, but...
Well, that did happen, yeah. And they don't need an excuse. It's their ballpark. It's their parking lot.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, and their reasoning's ridiculous. Obviously, these are public figures that you can't, it's just a ridiculous, defense.
They don't really need an excuse.
They're not private people, so.
Yeah. Well, the only thing is they don't need an excuse, but the only thing that's maddening is Google, because they are they create a monopoly situation.
Yep.
They basically shut everyone else down by giving the service away. Yep. And then when they have everyone in their pen, then they start exerting control. And because everyone else, all the competition is basically vaporized because they took all the money out of it by giving it away, then there's nowhere for people to go, at least temporarily. So it's quite I saw it with a blogger, I used to use aggregators to pull in blogs, so I didn't have to go to the actual site. And they did that with their Google Reader. Same thing. And the place I was at before Google came along was really a viable little company. They made a little bit of money, maybe. And Google came along and stole all their customers. And then the little company shut down. That's how they do it, boys and girls. Yeah. It's predatory capitalism at its best.
Yeah.
And who's behind it? Well, the guy with the most money. And even if Google probably is losing money, I sort of don't doubt it, really. There's quite a good possibility they're not making any money.
How do they even make their money? Yeah. I mean, the stuff.
Well, it was advertising. But anyway, let's get back to your 9/11. So you finished at Clues Forum, and that was enough for you, and then?
9/11, the whole thing. You know, I haven't actually really focused on the Pentagon thing. So, with the buildings, again, it's just physically impossible, the story. Mm-hmm. So I don't even, I watched how they construct, there's video, you can watch how they built the Trade Center. I'm more interested in how they actually deconstructed it. That's what really interests me at this point. But it's like an incredible magic trick. How they actually demolished the thing, no? I mean...
But towards the end of 2015, that's when you decided it was a magic trick and probably the Clues Forum or September Clues way of looking at things is probably the right answer? Is that accurate?
I would say pretty much the conclusions on Clues Forum about 9/11 and a lot of other things are right or in the ballpark or close enough to being right or whatever, yeah.
So you were the same as me. You just took a few months, and you were pretty much convinced.
For that aspect, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So it didn't take you years and years and years.
Well, it depends what we're talking about, because there's other, offhand, I don't know, like, how I got the space being fake and the rest of it. You know, it takes a while to really understand that what you've been seeing was fake the whole time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a deprogramming from a cult.
Yeah,
I guess is a good way to look at it. And so with the, this, how they fake space, for example, you know, once you start thinking about it and watch some really good flat earth videos, by the way, because some of those guys really just point out things mm-hmm. that are, you know, I wouldn't even think of. And then you start thinking about it, you do a little research on your own, and you see, no, these guys are right. These guys are right. They're faking it. You know, and they're using green screen. They're using the flat earth guru, music guru guy. In that video, he lays it out.
Yeah, see, I know who you're talking about, the flat earth cowboy guy.
Yeah. And in just one video, he explains how they do it.
Oh, you know? Good. So you came to this in 2015, which was the year of the flat earth phenomena.
Yeah.
Oh, and okay, that's right.
I have the flat earth conspiracy on my shelf right here by Eric Dubay.
Oh, okay.
I actually bought the book from Amazon, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
So you
came into this whole thing during the Flat Earth year. That really puts a different spin on I guess, the way you look at it.
I wasn't into Flat Earth, though. I never, you know.
No, but were you looking into...
Not that there's anything wrong with Flat Earth.
Well, but a lot of some people think there is a whole thing wrong with it. But did you even consider space fakery before 2015, or were you totally on board with the Apollo everything? Did it ever occur to you?
I never thought about it. So when I started reading that only the Apollo astronauts set foot on the moon, you know, I had never thought about it. So I thought that was weird. You know what I mean? So then I started noticing that I never really looked at this. You know, I just kind of gave it half attention, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I was never really, you know, I was more interested in Star Trek and Star Wars.
Okay,
and Superman and things like, you know, unreal things.
Yeah.
Than in what was supposed to be real. I was never interested in dinosaurs. I was never really that interested, I guess, in the space program.
Oh, okay.
You know, so we saw it on MTV, right? I mean, they had the bumper was the space thing. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
And the $6 million man. That's how I know space.
All right. Right. So I'm going to say you're at a slight disadvantage that you weren't looking into this before the flat earth thing, because I can separate the flat earth idea from NASA fakery. But the biggest complaint for those that have been looking into NASA fakery before this great big phenomenon of this flat earth, and some people call it a psychological operation in and of itself, is that they conflate the two things. And they're conflating what is absolutely legitimate research into NASA fakery with what has been a 100-year or 200-year quackery type idea of the flat earth. So the flat earth may have had legitimate research maybe 100, 150 years, whenever. And then it went away because it just didn't get any steam, and of course there was no way to distribute a very unpopular view, or not the current view, and it just had a resurgence in 2015.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately was at the beginning, because I was still pretty active in my interviews, and I was just looking for people to call, and you may or may not believe it, but I just called the number on the Flat Earth Clues with Mark Sargent, and I thought it was a well done video. It sucked me in, so I'm not saying that I'm above being manipulated, if that's what happened. And that was the beginning of 2015. So, yeah, I guess I have to see it from your point of view, that was when you came in and those two had merged, Flat Earth and NASA fakery. And most people conflated into one.
Yeah. Well, see, I like ideas. So the ideas that make sense, I just take away. And so if someone wants to think the Earth is flat, that's up to them. And I think, I might have pointed that I was a blog post. I don't think it was a podcast, but I mean, these mainstream people are going to think we're all crazy anyway. So it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're going to just lump us in as truthers. My mother has said to me that I'm like Alex Jones, for example.
Well, she knows who he is.
Yeah. From the mainstream media.
Okay.
That's why he's out there.
Right. Is your mother plugged into the mainstream media like mine?
Mine
downloads it into her. I can't get a hold of her at certain times because, my father says she's busy. And I said, what's she doing? Is she downloading CNN into her head again?
And that's
literally what's happening. I think she's in a trance 2 or 3 hours a day. And I think morning, noon, and night.
But it's the same news over and over again.
Yeah, but well, they have different characters. They have different presenters.
They have different characters.
No. She gets it from. She goes to Rachel Maddow. She goes to the guy at 9 o'clock on CNN. I don't know the names, but I'm not sure she plugs in the morning.
Yeah, you have your favorite person. I remember. Oh yeah.
Well, I used to watch CNN too. I used to watch Larry King and I couldn't stand the guy before him, the goofball from CNN who did the 9/11 broadcast. What's his name? Aaron Brown. I think he was in there too. Yeah, I watched Larry King. I started watching him to see when he flub. I loved it when he screwed up because he doesn't listen.
That's funny.
The guy would tell him an answer, and then he'd ask the question to get the same answer. He was so out of it. He was fed questions through his headset.
That's great.
I understand the attraction at the time. I've been totally plugged into the media.
You were born into it.
Oh,
right?
God, I was watching the news in the early 80s. Everyone else is getting drunk and smoking drugs and womanizing. I'm watching the nightly news. I can't wait. I say, what's going on? I want to see the political show. I want to see all the characters. Yeah. You know, what are they doing today?
And that
was Canadian stuff. God, imagine how dull that would have been. That's like watching paint dry compared to the American stuff.
Wow. I mean, I don't know. I've never watched Canadian politics.
Oh, it's boring. Boring. They just talk about money and debt. Anyway, let's get back to...
we're going off in the wrong direction.
We're going all over the place. Let's not talk about me. The main thing you've been doing, and we'll go a couple hours. You got a couple hours, by the way?
Hopefully, unless the wife comes and yanks me.
All right. Well, tell her she can't do that. Well, the main reason we're here is I'll just play a little. Is this play of them? Let's just see if this plays so I can. People recognize this music here.
Yeah.
Playing a bit of the intro to the Propagander at Propaganda podcast, and I can't control the volume with the player on your website, which is aamorris, U2Rs1S.net.
Welcome to the Propagander at Propaganda. I'm your host, A.A. Morris, and this is episode 16, Endless Comic Book Con.
And you sound different because, as I've admitted and said many times, I listen to all podcasts at 1.4. You talk a lot faster on my version, but I've never heard you speak so slowly, but that's your.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's
funny. Yeah. I've said that.
1.4. I think I remember you saying.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. So you're a lot faster when you talk, but, yeah, that's, I knew of your site, at aamorris.net, the Propaganda, and, I probably haven't been the most attentive to it. I think I just elevated it in my Feedly to my top reads now. But, you really obviously became far more interesting to me when you started your podcast, which is already up to episode 16 and it's only, 2 weeks old?
I'm kind of.
You just have gone nuts, my friend.
Addicted.
What happened there?
I don't know. It's all the research, I guess, and then wanting to put it in a better format, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's way better than your website. Let's put it that way. It is fantastic.
That makes sense. And I want to keep improving the podcast and try to get them even better, you know?
No, it is really good. It's because you're one of the just listening to you, and I'm up to episode 10 or 11 right now. You're just about the only person, and there are very, very few people in this entire world that I think get what the Fakeologist point of view or the Clues Forum point of view. You just, and how the media is the most important weapon. So you are just bringing it all together beautifully. So just wanted to give you a compliment there. It's just, it's fantastic. It's very heavy. It's dense. It's like thick cake, but it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thank you. But like, it's all based on what Clues Forum, you know, Fakeologist, you know,
I appreciate the hat.
John LeBond, you know.
Yeah.
The influences are there. You know, I have the links.
No, I think it's fantastic. That is the fairest, most honest and most helpful way to do a podcast is to give people other places to look and link to and go do their own research. But you bring it together. It's just really, really great. Fantastic.
Well, thank you. And it probably sounds crazy to the average person, right?
No, I don't know.
I'm teasing.
I would probably recommend, I'm trying to think, would I recommend your podcast to just a complete neophyte? I think maybe because it's very calm. It's very rational. And I think I could. I really do. I don't even think I could, because my podcast will start in the middle of the story. and yeah, there's so many assumptions when you listen to my stuff. And that's why mine isn't probably that shareable, but yours is so comprehensive.
I don't know. I like your stuff, so I don't know.
But you're way advanced now. I'm not sure a neophyte could get into it, but I think you could be recommended to someone who has no clue what's going on. I really do.
Thank you. That's a compliment. I appreciate that.
As a matter of fact,
very flattering.
We need people like you to come at it from another angle. And we need as many people like you as possible so we can bring more hypnotized people out there into the fold, really. If that's the goal.
It would be nice if there was a way. Yeah, I agree. I don't know if my work is, you know, the best example, but yeah, if someone can act as a bridge to the normal people, you know, bring them over, that'd be great.
Well, can you show this website to your mother? Can she listen to this?
That's a good question. You know,
that's a litmus really test. Question.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so. I don't know. I think don't want to be mean, but I kind of think they were kind of a bit more indoctrinated than we were somehow.
Well, it's not mean. It's a fact.
You know, with the duck and cover stuff, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But that whole Mickey Mouse Imagineering, the Mickey Mouse Club, I think it had an effect. Uh-huh, you know? Uh-huh. And it seems to me, too, people in our age group, because I assume you're about 50, right?
I'm 51 this year, yeah.
There you go. Okay, so I'm a couple years younger than you. But people around our age group seem to kind of be hip to these ideas. It seems like that, you know, at least online. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I was totally indoctrinated though, so I think I'm one of the lucky ones that got out. I'm not sure what cutoff is. Definitely 60-year-olds are out of it at this point in time. 50 is sort of a mixed bag, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it just seems like there's a lot of us though involved with the blogs or podcasting that are around the same age.
Yeah, I'm going to say 40s. 40s is pretty
maybe,
good.
Maybe I'm filtering the information to fit my ideas. That's probably
I'm at the top end of the age range, but I think you're right. Okay, well, let's just go with the 40s. That's a real transition age.
Yeah, sure.
Because the internet is already 25 years old when it's the World Wide Web, when they had the graphical interface, the mosaics. Did you go into that as well? I can't remember if it was you or...
I don't know. I refer to it as the World Wide Web sometimes. Okay. I don't know if I got into that. I can't remember, to be honest with you.
So you don't think your mother could listen to your podcast and you haven't given it to her yet?
No, it never even occurred to me. That's an interesting idea, and I tend to doubt it. I mean,
does she know your website?
No, I never even thought about that. That's interesting.
Would you be embarrassed to show her? Because believe it or not, I haven't given my own parents the link to mine.
No, I wouldn't be embarrassed. I just don't think she's the correct audience for the material, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Do you think would you get into an argument with her over it? Do you think is she political?
You know, I've been trying to avoid arguments, so I've been trying to be good. But yeah, that's happened before, sure.
All right.
You know what it's like when you speak to someone who believes what the news is telling them. I mean, you kind of have no common ground in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Well, you're confronting their beliefs. Right, head on.
And sometimes I forget that, and it's easy to forget.
It'd be like going up to a Catholic and just say, listen, there's no God. Would you stop it already? What are you doing?
And that's kind of rude, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it really is rude, and you really shouldn't. So I'm trying not to be as opinionated and judgmental of other people's ideas. So I'm trying to work on that. Because obviously, you don't have a blog and do a podcast unless you're an opinionated person to begin with, right? So... Used to be more mellow and not, because I, you know, these are just ideas. There's no reason to get caught up in these things. So if someone wants to, you know, say the earth is flat, well, maybe it is. I don't know. You know, I don't care.
Well, I do care, and
if you do, that's cool. That's cool.
No, I would just say prove it to me, you know, if you don't think it is, and then we could go from there. But yeah, I don't. I'm not sure.
That's the thing. Are we going to, you know, how am I going to prove it? You know, if I could fly up like Superman and, you know, we can go out and I could show you, hey, look, it's, you know, but we can't do that, so.
Yeah. Let's go to, why don't we go through some of your episodes?
Okay.
And let me just do a quick station identification here, and I'll let people know where they are and how they can support this broadcast, if I can find the damn thing. And where is it anyway? Come on. My sound effects are all over the map. Well, at the beginning of this broadcast, I did play the Neil Armstrong last White House speech. Do you remember? I did play. I don't know if you heard that at all.
I didn't, but I'm familiar with some of that speech. I think the one with Bill Clinton, right?
Yeah, it was that one. It was when he.
Yeah, for the anniversary.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And he lets out a little cryptic kind of clue or something.
You got it. Okay, here it is. Sorry, I'm disorganized.
That's all right. I love that
movie. If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. All right. Why don't we go through...
Awesome.
Yeah, why don't we go...
I like that bumper.
Yeah, it's not bad, not bad. Actually, we are going to take the calls. We have some people waiting in the green room. And actually, why don't we just take one for now? Let's bring one in to the call, and then I want to go through some of your podcasts. Maybe you can talk about it. So I'm going to bring, I'll try with English James first, because he's in alphabetical order. He's at the top of the list. So English James, hi, do you want to say hi to AAAA Morris? English James, go ahead.
What? I was in the middle of a conversation.
I unplugged myself. Hang on 1 second.
Oh, no problem. English James, I just saw you in the green room. We're trying to keep the green room for people that want to talk to the guests. Did you want to ask A.A. Morris a question at all, or?
Just pop me out and get.
All right. Hey, he's gone. Let me bring, I don't know Freya. That's a new person. But I know Gaia. Gaia is one of the architects of the Fakeopedia. Gaia, do you want to say something to AA Morris? Unmute your mic if you want. Gaia.
Hello,
Gaia.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm cooking. Yeah.
Well, I can bring it back later if you're still frying your fish.
It's hamburgers, but linked A. Morris stuff today. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Gaia, can you get a little closer to your mic so we can hear every last word?
Sure. Now it should be better.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
Okay, you linked AA Morris to the Fakeopedia?
Yes, especially his about the nuke hoax or about fake nukes.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. What episode was that?
How to fake a nuclear attack.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Is that on the website or is that an actual podcast?
You have to put it there because you posted the last one. I think you posted there was 12 and then 13 is about the nuke hoax.
Okay, that means I'm not at 13 yet. Okay.
And it's also related to NASAionist and to the Project Paperclip.
Okay.
Actually, Operation Paperclip. Right. Where we have, what was his name? Herbert Haber? No, Heinz Haber.
Yeah, Heinz Haber. Yeah. That's right, Mr. Haber. That's great, yeah.
And that relates to the Disney movie... We all love the atom or something.
Yep.
So yeah.
And I think they had a storybook.
I linked to Q's Forum again, so yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
That's awesome. All
right.
Thank you very much, Gaia.
All right, Gaia.
My thanks go out to you. I mean, you opened up so many doors, so it's great.
Oh, thank you. Well, I like your work as well. So,
thank you.
What you've done on Fakeologists. It's awesome.
All right, Gaia. Can I put you back in the green room and I'll just?
Yeah, please. Yeah,
all right.
It's great talking to you, Gaia.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Gaia. Gaia, there goes Gaia from Fakeopedia. He's doing great work. Very controversial figure on the Discord, but. Who isn't? That's interesting. Let's be honest. Rolo wants. Do you know? Let's talk. We'll bring Rolo in a second. Why don't we just talk about the first propaganda at propaganda? That's such a tongue twister, but it's kind. It's really. Where'd you come up with that? The propaganda at propaganda podcast.
I don't know. It's the propaganda Bobby Darin song, and I guess I just, you know, put it together.
That's a Bobby Darin song?
Oh, sure. The propaganda, yeah. And it's about, if you can look it up. There's no reason for me to get into it. But yeah, and it's about propaganda. It's about propaganda. You gotta look at the lyrics.
I had no idea.
It's an allegory, yeah. It's an interesting allegory that he picks to get. There you go.
Boy, every morsel you got something going on that I didn't know. Let's just hear a bit of it.
There was a white mouse conversation down at the county fair. All the church mice, field mice, lots of nice mice, everybody gathered there. You see the monkey was speaking, telling them where it was at. He said, here, there ain't nothing to fear, except the three-eyed Siamese cat, and the crowd was stunned. No single mouse had ever seen one. Said, don't be scared, we're prepared. Then he held up a great big picture so every mouse could see what a three-eyed Siamese cat looked like in face.
So that, wow, I've never heard this song ever.
Right. Barely,
that is neat. Where are the lyrics for that? Someone dig it. Do you have the lyrics?
You can find it. Yeah, you just Google it. Internet search it, and it should come up.
Somebody dig them up and put them in the show notes for me. So that got you going on the proper gander.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and you know what? Before I started doing any research, that music was in my head. You know, that these ideas were floating around already. So there's that too, you know.
Walden, Robert, Casotto.
Casotto. Yeah. Born Walden Robert, or Robert Walden Casotto, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Isn't that something?
It's very interesting. I wonder if that was really his name.
Yeah, really. Well, what's the background?
Seriously, yeah. I mean, we don't know, do we?
Well, we'll ask Miles Mathis. He'll dig it right down.
Yeah, maybe he'll figure it out, yeah.
Right back to Ashkenazi.
His work is interesting, though. I like a lot of it. But yeah, that stuff, I don't know. But
I don't
the rest
either.
Of it is,
yeah, no, I like him. He's another really...
I mean, a lot of the stuff is right. I mean, he's right about a lot of things. So.
I think, he's an iconoclast, and I got that term from the peaceofmindfulblog.com, and I had to look up what an iconoclast was.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, my memory's really bad, but it's basically someone who blows up old ideas. I'll just quickly go to the great Wikipedia and see if my internet is just going for a dump today. I don't know what's going on.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, it's 8 o'clock. That's why. The entire internet's shutting down thanks to Netflix. Netflix is the scourge of the internet. They should be paying damages to everyone because they completely paralyze the internet with this damn streaming. It is the worst.
That's going to take, I'm telling you, it's all going to be that one day.
Well, geez. I wish they'd embrace torrenting because it is the absolute fairest way to bring large files to people. This streaming is awful, honestly. Yeah. Iconoclasm is the social belief in the importance of the destruction of icons and other images or monuments, most frequently for religious or political reasons. Okay. That's basically...
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, it's basically people that... it's people that break up sacred objects to religion, blah, blah, blah. People that oppose orthodoxy and religion. So that's me.
Yeah.
And probably you too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So that's
that
where you got the propaganda.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he has a couple other songs that are interesting too, if you look through the lyrics. But yeah. Yeah, it's interesting though how there are Easter eggs out there.
Why did you decide to go through his lyrics? Just for that reason? You just
Oh no. I actually if you remember when Kevin Spacey made the Bobby Darin movie.
I don't remember that.
If you look it up, you'll see. It's from, I want to say, 2005 or something like that.
Okay.
But in any event, it must have caused them to put a Bobby Darin special on TV. So I happened to catch his live performance, and I thought it was good. So I started getting into the music. I listened to Led Zeppelin and stuff like that. So this was outside of my realm. But then I got into it, and then I found out that he had this, like, kind of protest music he was trying to do at the time. So that's what that propaganda song's from. And if you go, at the time he was trying to call himself Bob Darin.
Okay.
And he spent some time up at Big Sur outside of the Esalon Institute. So you start to get kind of some connections here as well to that whole Esalon, cultural manipulation program kind of thing. So who knows, you know? So it's just interesting.
So he may have been working for the dark side. I guess you have to.
I don't know what, you know, I'm not necessarily saying that, but you could, you know, look at those kind of links for yourself and see, you know, I don't know, you know, I honestly don't know, but once you start realizing Hollywood's always been part of this propaganda machine, then you kind of see why, you know, there would be Easter eggs in a James Bond movie where he's running onto the moon set, right? And Sean Connery and these other little things, because they can get away with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, they get away with it because no one's paying attention. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, people, if it's not in the news, it doesn't happen. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically it for most people. If they don't see it on TV, it doesn't happen. And if someone, you know, if they tell them like Elvis is dead and they don't see Elvis on TV anymore, he must be dead. Right.
Oh, definitely. Now, the beginning of your podcast, you go in about the news from nowhere, and in a way, you went a little. I don't know if I missed it. Sometimes I'm not the most attentive, but is that a book that is written?
Oh yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's News from Nowhere. I have it right here. Actually.
Is that? Do you recommend that book to fakeologists or people?
Recommended it to me, or recommended it not to me. If I could remember which, it might have been even on Fakeologist. I don't know. Someone recommended.
Oh,
it
probably
somewhere.
John Adams. He's the one that recommends books.
It could be, or it was someone who commented maybe on a Hoaxbusters call or something. But someone recommended this, and it's News from Nowhere, Television and the News by Edward J. Epstein, I guess, and it's excellent. Yeah, I do recommend it, because there's
Hold on, it's News from Nowhere by Epstein?
Yeah, Edward J. Epstein.
Because I'm looking at News from Nowhere, the first thing that comes up is something by William Morris.
Yeah, some other, it's like some older thing, right? You gotta
In
Television. It's News from Nowhere, Television and the News.
Oh my goodness. $38 Canadian for paperback and $115.24 for hardcover. Wow.
Oh really? This one was,
that's up here in Canada.
$17 US.
For the paperback?
Yeah, Ivan R. D. Publisher, Chicago.
It says here it's free. No, read with, well, it says Kindle edition, but it doesn't show a price, so maybe it doesn't exist there. Okay. Mm. Well, that's pretty good. Okay.
You can find reviews about the book that explain a little bit about it as well. I think I might have linked to them or something on the website. I'm not sure. I can't remember. I think I quoted from one of the reviews, though.
So that is the main thing you are podcasting about at the beginning.
Yeah, just to use it as a source, and then to combine it with the JFK assassination to put some context on how the news was produced back then, to give us some idea of, you know, I mean, when you get, now I'm laughing, but they turned the Dallas police station into a television studio. So when you think about all the logistics involved and everything, and then you see how the news is manufactured to begin with, mm-hmm. you know, you start to understand that this has to be, in my opinion, you understand this has to be a psychological operation. It's not a real assassination. I mean, it's just, none of it makes sense in that context, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was hoping by using News from Nowhere, to, like I said, to provide that context and to explain how back then, it took like 6 hours to get the film developed and edited and everything so they could present it on air. Let's see, there was other aspects too. And you could see how it was controlled, how it would be controlled from the top, and then how there were affiliate needs and, you know, other needs here and there. So you have the commercial aspect to it, and it's all fractured. You know? So I think it kind of lays out, you know, how we end up with these news stories that don't make any sense, you know, because they, you know, that's just the way they.
So you do a good job. Yeah. No, it's good. I've never heard of it, but it really does help blend a bit of the fakeologist point of view with just the media in general.
Yeah.
Television media.
Yeah, it's a we got to look at it as a product is kind of what I'm getting at. And they need to be able to have a format to mass produce that product on a regular basis. So even just from that aspect, they admit to that aspect. Mm-hmm. Just that aspect right there, it's not trustworthy. You know, if you really just, you don't even need to get into the rest of it. We just shouldn't trust it from the beginning, but we're conditioned to. And it, yeah, there's a great quote. I don't know if it's from the book or from an article about the book, but the quote says that the image of the intrepid journalist was manufactured. It didn't really exist until the television news made it exist. It was just like an idea people got from the movies. They got it from like comic books, like Clark Kent is a reporter, you know?
So there's no investigative journalist busting a story open.
I wouldn't say that altogether, but I mean, let's face it, they're not going to let them, you know, take down Chase Manhattan Bank or anything.
Right. Right. Although,
you know? Unless that's part of, let me rephrase that. That's part of the agenda.
Right? Well, I just watched a Netflix documentary called, what's it called? I'm blanking right now. But basically it was accusing HBC Bank of laundering all the drug money in Mexico. They basically said without the bank, then these cartels, whoever's behind the cartels, could not move money. And and they're literally walking into banks with millions of dollars in cash, the HBC Bank, and they take it. They're not supposed to, and they weren't supposed to. But whether they're doing it now, it doesn't matter because nobody was held accountable, so...
Yeah, then, you know...
Now, was that a real investigative story? Was that a real piece?
I don't know, but that has a ring of truth to it, I think, in my opinion.
Because
obviously they have to launder the money somehow, right? And there are illegal drugs, you know, that's real. So, I mean, you know, so, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, is anyone going to really get in trouble for any of that? You know, any real people, you know?
Well, no one did,
hear about it? But that's the other thing. I think some of these... You ever watch, what is it, Law and Order or something, and there's a disclaimer based on a true story or something like that, but we change the names? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's based. What part is based on the true story? Yeah, I think that's just to lend it authenticity. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but I'm saying the news stories that we get that are supposed to be real, like these school shootings or something, maybe they're based on true stories. You know, maybe like, you know, 20 years ago, a kid went into high school and shot a couple people. You know what I mean? And it's not really dramatic.
I'm not sure how often that happens, but
I'm saying once.
Yeah, maybe once. But what is the truth? Yeah, what part of the story is true?
No, it would be like you know, someone got, you know, they got shot in the arm. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know?
They don't have to say what part is true. Yeah, they don't have. Yeah, it could have one kernel of truth, and they just built this monumental story around it. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
And then
there was a school.
Yeah, there was a school. A guy with a gun came into it.
Yeah,
but he was turned around at the metal detector. But they made it into a whole Columbine affair.
Yeah.
But it's still true because they're not really lying technically.
Exactly.
It is based on a true story.
Yeah, it was inspired. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, boy went up to a front door with a gun, turned around, and was expelled. Next.
Yeah, and it was a water pistol, you know?
Yeah, after all that. Yeah, exactly.
Not dramatic, yeah. Yeah, so I think, you know, maybe some of them have some kind of foundation somewhere. I really don't know. I mean, some of these things seem so ridiculous and over the top. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, some of these.
So the news from nowhere is the basis of quite a few of the episodes. 1, 2, 3, 4. That was the beginning of most of your podcasts for quite a while.
I used it kind of as like, say marketing slogan, but you know, I don't remember specifically if those podcasts strayed from that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly. I have to go through because now there's a number, you know, the more you do, you forget, what you said and what you were talking about, those older ones.
Now, just I want to give you a technical tip. I'm trying to download each podcast. You have a page called aamorris.net/podcast, mm-hmm. but there's no way to just download. You've got a player for each episode, but there's no link to just download it. And I have an add-on.
You can download from TalkShoe.
Yeah, but I want to do it fast, and I have an add-on on Firefox called Download All. And mm-hmm. if you could present all the download links, if you could actually put a link, then perhaps either I could just right-click them all and save to my hard drive, or this add-on. Some of these add-ons will grab all the links, and I can save mm-hmm. them in one shot. Because as I've told many others, if you want to keep this media, don't rely on the cloud. Put them on your hard drive.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with you.
So if you could make that a little easier, maybe put a download link, just the word download.
I'll look into it.
Because in these players, the only way to get the audio is you got to go to the page source, find the MP3 file, and manually grab it. So you sound halfway technical. At least you explain yourself that way in your podcast. So.
Well, but I'm also jaded at this. I'm tired of playing with the computers. But I'll look into doing the link thing. That should be easy.
No, that should be real easy. Just get the file name. So they're all, it says here they're served from your website, but are they, did you say they're also served or they are served from TalkShoe?
They're also on TalkShoe. I upload to TalkShoe as well. So you can get everything there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I upload to the website. They're actually uploaded to that podcast page, and then a separate file is uploaded to the blog entry.
Oh, it's, so
it's actually uploaded twice.
Okay. So I should. Yeah, I might find the link on. I see here. Well, you just have the TalkShoe link and the player itself.
Yeah.
And the player.
If you click on the link, it'll bring you to TalkShoe.
Yeah. The only thing about TalkShoe, it degrades the audio quality. That's how they can save so many. They'll knock it back down to a super low bit rate.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll convert it to, so it's not as good. Especially since you said you got a new microphone and it's up the quality of the voice.
That other one was terrible.
Yeah, it was causing you difficulties, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
It was almost, there was a lot of those, intros.
Those hits,
the hits, but yeah, the bumper, your butt. What is that music anyway? Where'd you get that?
It's a clip music, from one of the music sites. I don't remember which one. But it's like clip, the clip music, basically.
Oh, okay.
So it happened to be like, newsy and then warlike at the same time. So, and I just happened to have it. So it worked out, I think.
Okay. I gotcha. All right. But there's quite a bit of it. It just seemed like, we're going to another break. We just got here.
I guess I should make it longer than but it kept crashing on me.
Yeah.
Before I switched the microphone, it kept crashing. So then I extended it to 15.
Are you on a PC or a Mac?
A Mac.
Ah, damn. I can't help you then.
No, there's no help for us, Mac.
No, I don't have a Mac, so I can't give you any advice. Unless Audacity's on the Mac. Audacity's on the Mac. Why don't you just record through that? That works really well.
Probably should. I'll look into it.
It's free.
I'll check into it. I probably just need to update the software or something. There's usually basic things.
Okay, so can you summarize maybe, and then should we bring Rollo in just for a quickie? Rollo has a question.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, we're going out of our list there, but I'll bring Rollo in. He's probably got news from the green room. He'll tell me who wants to come in.
News from the green room.
Yeah. Rollo, hi, you're talking to AA. Turn your radio down, please.
I've got my radio down. Hey, how you doing, AA? How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, good. Look, I know I got only one question.
Mm-hmm. Well, got one or two.
I've got my radio down.
It just depends. So,
okay. We all good?
Yeah, go ahead. Ask your question of AA Morris.
Okay. My question is, George W. Bush, as funny as he was, he put how many people to death in Texas? How many people did he put to death?
Oh, is this, you're right. You're right. He does have a right. And then, in fact, he laughed, supposedly, when the one was begging for a life or something like that, if I remember the stories. I forgot all about that.
Why am I not? It shouldn't be feeding back. Have I got? What's he open?
I couldn't give you the number though of deaths that he's supposed to have caused, actually. But yeah, wasn't he supposed to be the death penalty guy in Texas? That's right. I forgot all about that. Wow.
George W. Bush.
Yeah, I forgot his reputation. That's right.
It's disgraceful.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot all about that.
Look, sorry about that.
Have you listened to the AA podcast?
He's not very funny. Not in that context, no.
No. Whereas Donald Trump, I mean, he just does. He gets into the ring or whatever they call it, the square or whatever it is, and starts playing. I know he's 70 years old, but he gets in there and knocks around. I've never felt happier with Donald Trump in charge of things. And I know that, we shouldn't, they're all actors, but at least with Donald Trump running things, it's not Hillary Clinton.
And, you prefer that actor.
And that whole, she is just disgusting to me. Absolutely disgusting.
Hey, Rollo, have you listened to any of the propaganda podcasts? Do you have any questions on those?
Yes, I have. I've listened to I'm getting up to number five. There's so many.
What do you think of them?
I feel, what do you feel?
You got any feedback for AA?
I don't have the ability. You put so much work. AA Morris, well done for putting all the work in
that you do.
I mean, obviously you've listened to Fakeologists for years.
I like what you guys do very much, actually.
Yeah. So what Jesse Waugh said yesterday with the nuke lines, you listened to that. I saw you gave it a thumbs up. Yeah.
I thought that was great.
Well, I interviewed him this morning about him in New York and what did he see, and you'll be interested in hearing what he had to say.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, AA was in New York City on Manhattan Island on that day.
Yeah, and I was trying
you
to
looked
get
away,
home.
You said. I listened to the call earlier. You said you looked away.
Well, there was not. I wasn't anywhere near. I couldn't. Yeah. You can't see anything when you're in the city. It's just you're in the alleys, and just forget it. It's
you can't see anything from the ground for sure.
No, you got to be away from the city to really see those buildings.
No doubt.
Well,
and on the south side,
you would think there would be more footage, of it, because I posted footage. A guy got in his car and drove up the turnpike, the New Jersey Turnpike, and took some footage.
Yeah, I think that was fake.
You think that? I think that's real.
No, I think
whatever. I mean, what I'm curious about is why no one stopped and taped the whole thing from the highway,
Well, who's carrying a video recorder, though?
That's right. That's a good point.
You've got Rick Siegel, and you've got the woman saying, "Oh, fuck!"
Jennifer Spellman. Isn't Jennifer Spellman from ABC?
Yeah, Jennifer Spell. You know the one I'm talking about. We're all familiar with.
All the footage.
So we know the bullshit.
Wait, is that when they add the sounds after with some of those?
Yeah,
the anniversary.
Oh yeah, she sounds like she's in a room or something. Yeah,
she's in the audio booth.
Yeah.
Oh, the Foley artist. That's funny.
But the way that it just, the plane. But then you've got the Fox 11 footage where it goes in and then blacks out and then you get the nose out. That's the interesting one, isn't it? And then afterwards, CNN puts the banner over the money.
Yeah.
That's very.
Hey, Rollo, you were in the green room. Was there anyone else who wanted to ask a question?
Yeah. English James is a bit shy, so he didn't want to come in, but. You can drag anyone else you want to.
Okay, so they're all game? I wasn't sure because...
They're all game. They're all seem to get to be game.
Okay, can I... let me bring...
Okay,
let me bring Mahatma Coat in. Mahatma Coat, let's see. Mahatma Coat, did you want to ask AA a question?
Hello there.
Mahatma Coat, go ahead. You're on the air.
That's a great name. That's such a great name.
No, I know. Hand me Mahatma Coat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mahatma Coat, are you there? In 3, 2, I will, he's not there. Let's see if Not So Freemason, do you have a question for AA?
There we go.
Yeah, not really. questions, I guess.
Okay, a comment, question, concern?
Well, I like hearing, it seems like John Miller is a target of conversation a lot in the new podcast. And yeah, I just, I love seeing the finger pointed at John Miller, cause he's right there on my list as well.
Well, he is. I mean, he stinks to high heaven, that guy. I mean, it's just obvious.
Well, who are we talking about for those who are not familiar?
Oh, John Miller, the reporter who ping-pongs in and out of the FBI, the LAPD, the NYPD, and then various news organizations like CBS, NBC, I want to say. He's been all over the place, right?
And yeah, and he interviewed one of the actors known as Osama bin Laden back in 1998.
He interviewed a cartoon.
When Osama bin Laden declared jihad for the first time on national television. And, you know, I've heard you bring up the mountain.
We begin with the story of a shadowy multimillionaire who has declared
G.I. Joe.
Oh, that was, that was Jay. Wasn't it Jay?
Yes. You attributed it to Jay Dyer. I always thought of that as very comic bookish. Like, here's the villain. He's on TV, like the way you would see in a comic book, you know, him saying he's going to come to.
No, that image, that image is right out of a comic book. The whole thing, it's crazy, but
yeah, he came up in research that I did where I was looking into the Altschul family, and he married into the Altschul family, married Emily Altschul, whose sister is Serena Altschul from MTV, and their mother was working with MK Ultra doctors, and their grandfather was with CIA propaganda.
Wow. It's incredible. It's incredible. Wasn't John Miller also involved with mafia figures or something like that in New York City too?
Yeah, his godmother is the wife of Frank Costello.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this even indicates that there's a control with the, what we consider to be the mafia, that there's controlled figures involved with that too, by the way. That's what that suggests. Really
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But I want to point out, though, there are real mafia people, too.
I'm sure.
But I think they get caught up in controlled situations, would be my opinion with that. Because the reason why I bring this up is I had done research on the Son of Sam, which was shootings out here, like this, the 1977, I think, if you remember, the Son of Sam shootings. And there was a... A mafia figure who was shot. I forgot it. One of these guys, and he was like a, you know, Italian American guy in the city, and he'd have, parties, parties for everyone, or I forgot what it was, but he was shot. I have to go back and look at it, but it seemed to me that this was another one of these contrived events, and this guy was another one of these controlled figures, like Martin Luther King, you know, MLK he's a controlled figure. He's not a real African American leader. You know, they don't allow that on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They're not going to let a real political leader come on TV and give interviews. There's photographs of Martin Luther King when he's in the prison cell that the photographer had to be in the cell with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so they're just like, oh, well, let his photographer, you know, it's Martin Luther King. We arrested him. Let his photographer in. I mean, does that really make sense?
Yeah, you know? That's true. Yeah.
So all these, I think all these, all the leaders get controlled. That's basically what I think. Like any real political movement, any real kind of thing that would change things gets, you know, you put your guys in and you take over, right?
Sure. You got to control the narrative. It's very important.
Yeah. So I think that's even with criminal enterprises, I think maybe
or they become co-opted at some point if they want to further keep going. I think people do. They might show up on the scene, they just get chosen and promoted, similar to music.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think if you fit what they're looking for, you could be an outsider and get in. You know, I think. And then also, isn't another thing that occurred to me with the Son of Sam shooting is it possible that something that's a psychological operation could bring out copycats?
Yeah.
Who actually commit crimes. And then maybe some of these people are, you know, they're a little on the, you know, little insane, shall we say. And they're willing to take the blame for everything.
For two reasons. One, it was expensive.
Here's your John Miller.
And two, I couldn't understand that it was a big deal. Because again, in 1997, 98, no one really knew who Osama bin Laden was in the general public.
After tense negotiations, Miller arrived for the interview.
Zawahiri greeted me and he said, I have very good news for you. Mr. bin Laden has agreed to answer each one of your questions. And I said, well, thanks. He said, there is one other thing. I said, what's that? He said, we will not translate his answers to you. I said, well, that's not going to work very well because if you don't translate the answers to me, how am I going to ask the follow-up questions? And he said, that'll be no problem. There will be no follow-up
questions. Yeah, that'll be no problem for John Miller, will it?
Inside today's FBI, fighting crime and terror, whatever that byline was at the very end of that video. That's funny. Inside today's FBI.
Jeez.
Let me bring in English James. He wants to ask a question. English James, do you have a question for Double A Morris? I'm giving you a second crack at it. English James, hello?
Well, oh, hi.
Hey, English James.
Ah.
Go ahead. Turn down your radio.
Sorry, it's really noisy in the green room.
Yeah. Did you have a question for Double A Morris?
Okay.
Go ahead. Turn down your radio if you're listening to the stream.
Like, one of the takeaways I've got from listening to your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yo.
Go ahead. What's the takeaway?
Hello?
Go ahead, English James. Turn down your radio.
I have the radio on, sorry.
Yeah, turn down your radio.
Is that you refer to the... You refer to...
He's hearing his own voice probably come through.
Be mad delay.
Yeah, you got to turn down your radio. You can't listen to the live stream. It's just like regular radio. There's a delay.
Yeah.
Let's see if Redmond 84 wants to.
I don't have the radio one.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Hello.
No, Redman doesn't want to talk. He's in the green. Guys, if you're in the green room, that means you want to talk. That's how it works.
I better.
Yeah, go ahead, English James. Yeah, we're too much dead air.
Connection.
Yeah. Okay,
so.
Go ahead, English James.
One of the takeaways was that you refer a lot of the times.
Yeah, English James,
he was sounding great in the green room.
I'll put him back in. He's not coming through here. I don't know why. So sorry. We only have a 2-hour show, so we gotta. If you can really, English James, if you're listening, you can type your question into the live stream chat. And I'll ask it for you if you want. Sorry about that. We only got 2 hours here. We can't, we don't have enough time for the dead air. We have time for dead air on the audio
no
chat.
No dead air, yeah.
But on the main show, we gotta keep it moving. Keep the audience engaged. Otherwise, they're all gonna fall asleep here.
We don't want that.
The other one thing you talk about is, so we've talked a little bit about 9/11. What about the other biggie that you go through is JFK? What's
JFK.
Your... What's your cliff notes on JFK? Where do you stand on that?
Oh, well, I think the guys at Clues Forum did a great job showing that the Zapruder film's a cartoon, basically. And I think when you examine the rest of it, it just falls apart. It just doesn't hold up as a real criminal investigation, and it only makes sense as a psychological operation. And that's obviously my opinion, but just the reporters are traipsing all over the crime scene. They're traveling with the detectives. They're at the movie theater when Oswald gets arrested. You know, they take the photograph of him, which looks to me like posed, you know. Miles Mathis did a great explanation of the scene in the garage, right? And that's obviously rehearsed and, you know, a soap opera scene. So the whole thing is just one big psychological operation with Lifetime actors, right? I mean, that's all it is, and that's all it ever was. And I think they created the whole conspiracy environment to help cover up for the fact that the whole thing was fake, to be honest. I think the conspiracy stuff has a lot to do with the cover-up. And then, of course, to create, like, this billion-dollar industry. I mean, how much money do you think they've made from JFK alone, you know? And not even including the Oliver Stone film, just all the publishing rights, right? And then plus all the TV specials and everything. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah, that's more important. The hoax, I call that hoax management.
Yeah. And it's not even just about, you know, hiding the, about promoting this mythology, to get, you know, as long as, see, that's the thing about the conspiracy thing. As long as you're willing to accept that the CIA did it, as long as you're willing to accept that the government killed him, you know, it can't be no one died.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it seems to be that if you say no, that no one died, then that's a problem. But anything else, deep state, that's fine. You can get away with deep state. That's allowed.
That's true, because if he didn't die, then the whole thing falls apart, all of it.
That's
it,
something you've been saying a while, I think, with the simulated victims, right?
Yeah, it all falls apart. All of them. They all are just shows.
Yeah.
They don't matter.
As
long as you're saying that, if you leave that part alone, they don't care what you're saying.
Yeah, it kind of seems like that, yeah. And I think, like you've said, though, like, what's so terrible about the idea that no one died, right?
It's a pretty great thought.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it, too. I mean, if someone died on 9/11, they happened to, you know, be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or, you know, with regards to the demolition, right?
Right.
Oh, that reminds me about that. The 001, the first victim, is a saint, Saint Michael Judge. His name.
Oh, is that the father?
Yeah, that's the fire priest, the fireman priest. Yeah,
he was.
And then
his
friend, he's outed as gay after he's dead. His friends out him as gay. You know,
because
friends do. That's what friends do to a priest, a Catholic priest, who they were considering to have sainted. I think the Wikipedia entry said the Catholic Church was considering having him sainted, but he is sainted, by the way.
Really?
So yeah, he's an actual official saint. Yeah, it's crazy. And there's monuments. That's the thing. The monuments. If you look around, there's always monuments.
Yeah.
You know? So that's supposed to remind us of the fallen, the soldiers, the fallen victims of 9/11.
Yeah, that's to make it
around
prominent.
Around here, you know, around here, it's crazy that, I mean, you got to be careful.
Does Jersey have some angry twisted metal monument?
I'm actually in New York. I was born in Jersey, but I live in New York.
Oh, okay.
But it's the same thing. I'm like 20 minutes away from New Jersey.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think I've seen a twisted metal cross. But, you know, if you look it up, they have them. And they claim they're made out of the steel from the Trade Center.
Yeah, of course.
I think.
Have you been to the 9/11 Museum?
You know, I never went down there.
No. Wow.
I took my kids for a nature hike a couple weeks ago at this nature preserve here in town in Kissimmee. And, we're walking along. We're just finishing up the hike, and I look over, and there's a plaque in front of a oak tree, and I go and read it, and it's dedicated to the memory of the victims of September 11th, 2001. And, you know, like, I'm out here in nature. Like, the only place I can go to be in nature is where it's fenced off, and I'm told this is where you can go. And, you know, trying to get away from this kind of propaganda programming.
And yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's awesome. That's funny. Yeah, you can't get away from it. Yeah.
We have a little park across the lake from where I am it's St. Catharines, I guess. And it's got the smallest of signs. If you miss one of the signs, then you're not going to find it. It's literally on the lake, and it's got some really sad looking trees. I think it's got a weeping pine or something that's bent over like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. And it is, excuse me, some very poorly made plaques. I think they went to the cheapest plaque shop. And I'm sure most Canadians don't know it exists, but I accidentally saw the sign once and I tried to find it and I eventually did. And there's no parking anywhere near it. So it's just, I took a picture, I think, of it at one point and, It's not so great. I'm actually trying to find it right now on Google.
I'm looking for my pictures right now too. Put them in the live stream. I got it here somewhere.
It's called the 9/11 walkway. Actually, it's called the 9/11 trail.
Oh,
sorry.
Geez.
9/11 trail. Here it is. I'll put a link to it. It's
yeah, we're not waking anyone up. We could forget about it. For the rest of the world, just buys into it.
Yeah, no, it's
forget it because it makes it real when they see the plaque. You know what I mean?
Well, they made sure because it was the World Trade Center, it was supposed to bring the world together. They made sure there was a victim from every country.
That was nice of them.
Oh yeah, yeah. They want to get everyone involved. So
inclusive, yeah, yeah. Very inclusive with that.
But just take a look at that sign on the that's not so Freemason sign. That's not
yeah,
what
which is
it's pretty
which
sad.
Is actually at the Walt Disney World. Is what is called Nature Preserve. Here, I'll put the picture of the entrance sign as well. You know how Disney like acquired all the land out here.
Oh yeah.
so yeah, this is where I've got to go to get out. Is still Disney property, and yep, there's the September 11 sign.
Yeah,
and that's California, I take it, or Florida.
Oh, Orlando.
No, Kissimmee, Florida. Yeah.
Oh, Florida.
Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of a sad sign.
They kind of put it right there, Kissimmee and Orlando. It's Disney property is like on both.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty rinky-dink. They didn't go all out.
No.
Huh.
No, that's not all that great. Not so Freemason. Have you listened to the podcast, the Propaganda podcast? Yeah.
I'm up to 9 or 10, I think, and I was telling Mr. Morris there a little bit earlier how most podcasts, like it could be a 4-hour podcast, and I could do 2 of them a day, but there's something about just like the density of
his podcast.
That,
yeah,
I can only one a day at the most, and I'm usually done. Like after I listen to it, I don't even listen to anything else. I kind of just sit and stew on it, and I don't know. And I find that it's easy to listen to, and it keeps me it keeps my focus very easily. Like I don't have to make a point while I'm working to like okay think about what's being said. Like it's I don't know. It's easily digestible, and I think you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
No, it is good. It's very dense. Very dense.
I feel the same way after doing them, though. I'm done. You know, I can't do another one. I have to, like, recharge and let the thing soak in a bit. But yeah, I want them to – I hope they're not too tangent-y. I don't want to go off on too many tangents, I should say.
It but, sure is know, easy, though, start, isn't it? It's easy
yeah,
to
it
do.
It is, yeah.
I don't mind.
That's kind of how we all work, though, right? These like stream of consciousness, like
I know.
All kind of fit together, and I think hearing your take on how the pieces fit is interesting in and of itself.
Well, thank you. I just worry that I go back and listen to what I was saying, try to fix it in the next segment if I left something out. But, it's, you know, you end up going off on tangents. I might lose a point here and there. So I was trying to get away from that and be careful not to go off on tangents.
Do you
like
make
blog
notes?
Entries.
Do you make notes when you're doing your podcast?
Yeah,
how do you
I do
exactly
have notes,
do it?
But they're sloppy. But, yeah, I do make notes. Yeah.
So you're really just going off the cuff. It's pretty much freestyle. It's as the thoughts come to your mind and you prompt yourself with thoughts.
Yeah, at least these initial ones, we'll see how it goes from there, but yeah, yeah. But if I start running out of steam, I guess I'll have to use a format or something, more, write it down more, write it down in a better outline might be a good idea, actually.
How old is your blog?
It's about 2.5 years old, I think, something like that.
Are you covering most of the stuff that's been in your blog since the beginning?
Oh, wow. I guess probably. Yeah, like the printing stuff, like the basis for the podcast has been in the blog. Yeah, yeah, I could, yeah, yeah, pretty much, yeah. Doctor Who, the mentions of Superman. Yeah, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, that's right.
So you are a heavy consumer of television in the past. That's
yeah,
why
I
you,
still,
you know all this stuff.
Yeah, I haven't been, since I've been doing the podcasting, I've been more devoted to creating things than watching, but I still watch the things. I watch Saturday Night Live, although I haven't caught it recently. But yeah, I do watch them. It's good because you can see what the propaganda is. You can see what the memes are, you know, you can see how they're, doing what they do, you know?
And what are some of the things you've been talking about on the blog over the last 2 years?
Oh, well, of course, space fakery. I'm interested in, how they do it and why they do it, of course. But why is kind of, you know, they can't really go into space. Stops it right there. But it's interesting that they need outer space to have the nuclear ballistic kind of threat. Because if you look it up, it's all part of the same history. It's all part of the same thing. And right away, Arthur C. Clarke is saying, hey, let's use these V2 rockets that were just terrorizing London, you know, according to the story. Let's use them for communication satellites. And that's the same year. That's 1945, if I have that correct, which I'm pretty sure I do. So it's interesting how terror and communication were linked, you know, and it's like a space is like a dual image, if you think about it, because that same technology is supposed to allow them to rain death down us and destroy the world many times over, right? So it's like, for me, it's outer space is the new heaven and hell rolled into one. So it serves as that mythological kind of thing, like an existential promise and an existential threat that hangs over our heads, right? And of course, nuclear power plants are supposed to be another threat that we're supposed to worry about if something happens with that. Because I live nearby to a nuclear power plant over here in the New York area. So it's the same kind of, right? The Three Mile Island threat. It's all part of the same scam. And I know you've been discussing what a nuclear power plant actually is, which I think is a very interesting thing to ponder, what they're actually doing or not doing with that. And I think you've gotten into the idea that maybe it's an electric dump or something like that.
Yeah, dump load kettle.
Burn off because I've heard you speak about electricity. I find your opinion fascinating, what you have to say about it. And your knowledge is beyond what I know.
Well, so, it's whenever pure you speculation. Speak about it,
well, that's an interesting idea, though.
It's pure speculation. I'm just putting provocative stuff out there and see if anyone also has thought about it. Cause I can't die. How can I know for sure?
I don't know. Can we even get near? Can you get in?
No.
To see
no, 9/11 sealed the one near Toronto up.
Oh, of course.
They used to do tours allegedly. Now you only get to go to the tourist center, which is nearby.
Oh.
Yeah. But they've got three layers of razor wire around the plants, all of them, and they're that was a big deal at 9/11. After that, 9/11 was a big excuse to spend tremendous amounts of money on safety and security, as they call it, keep us safe from the terrorists.
Yep. And to also make it harder for us to travel, which is something that you know, we kind of forget about, I think. But I used to be able to go to Canada with a license, you know. Now I need a passport, you know. And I don't think you should even need the license, but the point is they needlessly tightened up these things, you know? So, and once you realize that 9/11's just a hoax and it's just not real, it's fake.
Yeah.
And then you look at what they implemented after, it's kind of hard not to become cynical.
Well, yeah, because the effects were real.
Yeah. And the terrifying effects are real too. I mean, I remember being frightened, you know?
I was frightened for enough time. Yeah, I think so. But then as time went by, I thought, well, why aren't they investigating this? Why are we going nowhere? I still don't think to this day this that sort of hairy beast-looking guy has been convicted of anything. I don't think. I think he's Guantanamo. I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, the one they
The guy with lots of hair all over is coming up his neck.
He looked like he was half asleep when they got him. Yeah, like he was in his pajamas or something. Yeah. Whatever happened to that guy?
I think he's still in the fictional Guantanamo Bay prison. Yeah,
he's sitting on a beach somewhere getting tanned, sipping pina coladas with the rest of them.
I don't think there's anything at Guantanamo Bay. I don't think anyone's there.
I happen to agree with that. And, you know, when you think of, I never even, that's from A Few Good Men, right?
Yeah.
And then you don't want it. You can't handle the truth.
That's a great quote.
I keep thinking of that quote, and If he just could finish the line, he'd say, there's nothing there.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't handle how fake it really is, you know? It just cracks me up.
Well, actually, he's totally right. The public cannot handle the truth.
No, that matter. Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
He speaks the truth.
Yeah. I do think that's true. I do. It would probably be too shattering if they found out, like, overnight that everything
you can't handle the truth.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, and who was that? Who made that?
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson, but the director was, that is Rob Reiner, I think?
Maybe, I don't remember.
I don't think it's Ron Howard, because if it's Ron Howard and Tom Hanks is involved, then you know it's based on a fake story. Or if Clint Eastwood makes it into a movie, it's based on a fake story. Or wait, if they make it into a movie at all, it's based on a fake news event, actually. That's what I've discovered, my research.
Well, that's sort of the, yeah, that's the, yeah, it's Rob Reiner directed it. And,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think in Fakeopedia they call the Zal rule after Z.
Yeah, I've seen that. But it's true. It's true.
Yeah, well, it's an important part of hoax management to reinforce the myth. You need a movie because that's all people pay attention to, for sure.
I know. And then people, they think even history is the movie. They don't realize that was fictionalized. Not that history isn't fictionalized anyway, but it's not even the textbook version of the story. And they'll think that's real. You know what I mean? And they get their ideas from movies, most people, yeah. And they also, I've noticed, don't have, people who consume the news media don't have memory. I don't think they really remember the news stories. I really don't. I think
well, they can certainly recycle stories from generation to generation. If you define a generation as about 20 years, for instance, I think they may be bringing back serial killers. In Toronto, we have one going on with killing gay men in our gay district. And I don't know if we had one before, but they're recycling that serial killer thing that went away for maybe a generation, and now it's come back.
And wasn't like Dahmer the last?
Yes, that was a big one, right? That was a big one. Chicagoland or Wisconsin or somewhere around there. Yeah, for sure. Well, I don't know if you've got. You see, our serial killer in Toronto, I don't think he's made any news outside of Toronto, and
I haven't heard anything
because it's an underdeveloped story even here. I don't think many people here know about it. It just doesn't have the penetration anymore because they don't have a... There is probably no great way to distribute news and media right now. It's so fractured. I would say it's a problem because everyone under 30 is on the Insta or the Gram.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And not the Facebook anymore, and they're Snapchatting, so there's no central dispersal through Snapchat that I know of. So it's really, I think even a serial killer story is not penetrating like it used to.
It's just
very difficult to get stories out now for the mainstream media. I'm quite sure of it. It's very difficult. It's a very fractured media right now, and it has its disadvantages for spreading, making widespread messages. So you really need an army, literally, and I'm sure there is an army, or the army, to engage the social networks for people under a certain age. It's the only way it's getting through.
I guess, see, that's the thing. From what I understand, older people watch television news, right? And younger people don't.
60 plus, something. I would say, 60 plus.
Yeah. So then as they die off, the news is going to have to transition into another format, right?
Well, it already is. I think they're scrambling because social media changes a lot.
Yeah.
Without Donald Trump, Twitter would probably be dead. He has been an incredible boon to Twitter. He's got to be Twitter's all-star right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook is fading. It's just getting tied up in all kinds of... I think that's the middle-aged women are there.
Ah.
So every social media outlet has its demo.
Yeah, yeah.
Which just requires a lot more maintenance. I would say, well, maybe... the same number of people, but they're diffused all over the place trying to get the word out. So It's tricky. That's why I think it's almost a level playing field at this point, or it's more of a level playing field. So people are aware that there is more to the internet than YouTube and Facebook. There are websites. That's how it sort of started. You can go and support independent media like yours and mine. And I don't think you have a PayPal button, but you should probably put one up to...
At some point, if I keep doing this, I'll probably have to.
I think you should, because you're putting a lot of effort into it.
Yeah, I know. It really is a lot of work to maintain a website.
Oh, it is.
Do any of this, And what you do, it's a lot of work. So that's why I've been saying, you know, support these guys and support Folksbusters and Clues Forum and stuff.
If you want to see more of it, I want to see more... A.A. Morris is out there doing podcasts and just trying to break stuff down. I probably would never have read that book, News from Nowhere, but you've read it for us and you're explaining it. And that's good
enough for me.
Well, it's through your lens and it's fine. I'm not going to buy the book probably now because you pretty much explained it.
Yeah, and I'll go through it again and see if there's anything else we can get out of it, you know. You know, there's interesting stuff in it.
For sure.
If you actually, you know, it's neat how much you see. I was saying this I was talking to someone recently about this, but there's no reason to, all the information rather is out there if you just look for it. It's not like hidden in top secret documents in a lot of ways. And not that there isn't that aspect to it, but a lot of it's just out there in the main, in the record. If you know how to pull it out, you know what I mean?
You definitely need guidance to find it though. You really do.
Yeah, you do.
Like for instance, there's people into Corporation Nation. Where apparently all these drills are being done under the ICE integrated capstone events.
Mm-hmm.
That's out there. You can get that information.
Yeah, I think I've heard about that too. It might have been through you.
Yeah, me and I'm just rebroadcasting Sophia Smallstorm.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that's right. That's
did,
right. Yeah.
Did you know that your city and your police department, your fire department, they're all corporations. They all have CAFRs that list their... How they're supposed to, it's just a whole thing that we're not taught this.
I see what you, but I see what you mean by level playing field.
Well, now we're just as much as disadvantaged as some of the major sites because we're just a website. They haven't blocked websites explicitly like they can and might in the future where it's possible. It just depends on how influential sites they don't want are. If they want to make them harder to get to or you have to jump through hoops or press red buttons and warning signs and all the roadblock signs, they could do that.
Yep.
And but right now we have tools just to at least get our voices out there, but whether or not anyone's listening is a whole other battle.
Well, but I think the fact that CNN had a do that with that Hogg, what was his name? Boss? Yeah, Hogg, right? That Lifetime actor that they had that headline you know, pointing at Alex Jones, of course, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's a problem. I don't think that's a good sign, in my opinion.
Well, this, to delete all critical videos is almost a admission on their behalf. They just can't counter it.
Yeah.
So all they can do is just censor it. Just get rid of it.
Yeah, that's not a good, that's not the best way to approach it.
It's an admission though.
Yeah, that's why you do, you know, they use a lot of noise traditionally to drown out any other, you know, so then you don't focus on it. Yeah, I think someone's paranoid at YouTube at Google. That's what I think's going on.
Well, or they allowed a different group to do the censoring and the moderating. Maybe. If they did bring in the ACLU or the SPL, Southern Poverty, they brought those guys in, then they're just going to be throwing the ban hammer all over the place.
Yeah.
And, well, it certainly has had an effect for sure, in my opinion.
It's amazing what passes for freedom. You know, I mean, you know, we're supposed to be free, right? Weren't the wars about freedom? Didn't those people die for freedom? I mean, I'm a little confused.
But they're private corporations.
That's why the terrorists attacked us.
For our freedoms.
Our freedoms. Yeah. Yeah, and the terrorists that only John Miller could find, but the FBI, the CIA, the worldwide military, all the intelligence agencies couldn't find Bin Laden.
Well, they had a reward.
Yeah.
Wasn't Osama on the FBI's most wanted?
Yeah, him the terrorist, because that's really
the best way to put it. I mean, it's not just him, but he is a part of the real.
Oh, John Miller. Yeah.
The news showing us these events is the real terrorism.
The news media is the terrorism. Yeah, they're the terrorists. Definitely. That's what terrorism is, though. If you look up the etymology of the word, it's governments use it against non-combatants.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what it is. So they can redefine these things all they like, but when you look at what they're doing traditional terrorism to us. I mean, so, and
it is the definition of terrorism, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so they could, and then what they do is they twist everything around. I mean, that's really all. And then, like, I've been noticing for a while, they don't ask decent follow-up questions. And they don't care about Gene Rosen's five different stories for you, right? I mean, that guy has five different Sandy Hook stories, if you remember Gene Rosen, right?
Yeah, if you look at the debunking, so whatever mainstream debunking, whether it's Snopes or mm-hmm. one of these websites trying to say that,
yeah,
kind of theory is debunked. Don't
yeah, I love that word. Yeah,
any of the things
they can't.
They use ridicule.
Yeah,
and that's basically all they ever contain is ridicule, and they might knock down exactly one straw man, a couple of straw men.
Yeah,
that they set up themselves, or there might be a video or two that were used to set them up.
Yeah, and it's the same with the space program too. When they debunk, you know, like the moon landing being a hoax or something, it's just all false and wrong, distorted. But that's all they can do. That none of this stands up to scrutiny. So I think that's why you need a dumbed down population, because this stuff doesn't withstand scrutiny. And I don't think it's designed.
It's like you were saying, you don't think people look at, they don't have a memory.
Yeah,
it's maybe they will recall the stories individually, but it seems to me like they don't compare. They don't take the past experience and think of how that relates to what's currently going on.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that's what most of us here do. Like, that's probably why we're here. We can see those patterns and.
Well, I mean, John Adams, Hoaxbusters Call, pointed out a few times about the compressed timeline. He even joked about it in one of the calls that he was involved, if you remember, in a shooting event in a store, and he already had new wife and kids the next day. I mean, this is what these people do. And then just everyone in the public just buys it. They don't notice the compressed timeline. You don't notice that this person's out of the hospital already?
Well, I spent maybe 2, maybe 3 years ago, at the hospital where the victim, so-called, of the Pulse shooting, I broke my wrist at a skate park here, and I ended up spending 4 days in that hospital getting surgery on my wrist and torturing me before they'd let me out. And these people are getting shot multiple times, possible head wounds. And,
yeah, or a shrapnel behind the eye. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You weren't in the compressed timeline wing.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good idea that you came up with and put in your podcast, the compressed timeline. I like that. You have a lot of those zingers.
Well, that's from John Adams.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So I want to credit John Adams, who's awesome. He's excellent. His work is excellent.
Well, it's great because you said it in another way that I really noticed. I guess I didn't really. John Adams is another guy that says so much stuff, and sometimes you don't.
Yeah, he's really smart. Yeah.
You don't pick up on every single idea, but yeah, the compressed timeline's great. Yeah, the way
it's just ridiculous. I mean, every story follows the same pattern. Oh, and that's what I was saying. It's a 20th century playbook, you know, like from the podcast. But I mean, it really was meant for low resolution. All of this is meant for that low resolution image we used to get. You know, it used to roll. Remember?
You mentioned that for the moon thing. That was really good. Yeah. It was good enough for the moon, for the TV at the time.
Yeah, basically. And then I do happen to think too, if someone did notice the seams or the sticky tape or whatever, then they're just going to filter it out, you know, because the news, if the news media doesn't say it's real, it's not real.
Yeah, but if you do go to the Smithsonian and do see the sticky tape, but yeah, it but that will conflict in your head, and you'll still believe the TV, even though you see with your own eyes. The thing is paper mache quality.
Right. That reminds me. I'm gonna keep going. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Oh. Go.
9/11. I remember playing cards, poker with my friends after 9/11, and a couple of me and another guy started thinking, you know, because at the time there was stuff in the internet on the internet about the collapse being funny, and it might have been around the time Jesse Ventura was going out there talking about it. But I remember we started talking about, like, yeah, that looks funny, and then everyone else in the room just like shut us down basically and just made us go back to sleep. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And they weren't paid to do that. It was just natural behavior, like, no, that's not real, you know. And then you're just like, oh, okay, whatever, and you just kind of just shelve the idea. And you, I noticed for myself, I never critically thought about it, and I never bothered to research it, you know. I just never I trusted the news media because the experts said, you know, it's real and they have the report or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't even think to examine it critically.
No,
so that's how you get fooled, right?
Well, you thought that the authorities were investigating it. Why do we have to investigate it? That's right. Yeah, after 12 years, you think, come on, you must have come up with something better than this hairy guy with that looked like he just got out of bed. Is this it? I mean,
the mastermind, right?
Yeah, just the absence of any great investigation should get people scratching their heads, saying, why do we have to solve the crime, for God's sakes?
Yeah, and they also had the patsy right away with that. They had they knew who did it right away. Remember?
Bin Laden. Yeah, but he at the beginning, I thought, come on, that's too fast, guys. If you were watching this guy the whole time, why do we have the same old story that you watched him, but he made one. He lost you at the last minute, and then he knocked it. It's just not believable. You would have thought, okay, this guy would have been passed over and they would have got to the real crooks. But just the fact alone that they never really solved the crime it's much more sensible that there was no crime. And if that's the case, then there's nothing to solve. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then that makes more sense.
But who would go to jail? This is what who is going to jail over this? You know what I mean? What laws did they break? They probably didn't break any laws. You know what I mean? If you look at it, it's probably done under national security. And they could do whatever they want. So,
or more likely, there weren't too many. There might have been some fraud laws broken. If money really did change hands, who knows?
They greased those wheels not worry about it, right? Yeah. That's true. There might be some fraud laws. But you could probably get around them with national security. No, think about it.
You've got these overarching laws for sure.
And if memory serves, the FBI was in the World Trade Center. Didn't they have an office or something? I'm thinking of the news media.
The official story is,
government offices and things. You could tell once you put two and two together, government building, basically, right? Or international banking building might even be better. It was the World Trade Center.
Or who was really in there. All those are just, to me, they're just stories that are not valid. Yeah. You can't validate them.
When I look at the list of so-called victims in the tower, and you look at it in like a graph of how many employees or which employees worked at whatever different establishment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big range. It's like four from this company, two from this company, just like 20 or 30 companies all on there. And I don't know, it seems like hard to believe that just a few stragglers from so many different places that would be spread out throughout these buildings. I don't know. It doesn't really line up with the way I would imagine. You know, I would think it'd be okay. The people up on the 59th floor, like they got it or whatever floor. You know, I don't know. Not sure, but yeah, like I don't know. It didn't seem to make any sense when I was looking at it.
You know, where do these people go? You know what I mean? If there were real people, you know, some of these people I think might have been real people that disappear. So there's that possibility. I mean, the whole thing, you get put in a position where, you know, you we're talking about fake deaths, right? Because the event's fake. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not really a comfortable position to be in, but that's where you end up because there's no other alternative here, right? If they had real deaths, we'd see there should be blogs, you know, of like, you know, someone complaining about something, right?
Well, there's at least five people.
Unless they were paid off.
There should be at least five people for every death. That makes 15,000 people. So very substantial number. And of course, we all know that.
You got the Jersey girls.
And notice how they went away once Bush wasn't president anymore or whatever. They're gone. Do they even exist anymore?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I guess they're over it. They're over it.
Yeah, they're over it. Yeah, there you go. That's
Mr. Morris there earlier about how one of the guys from Saturday Night Live, he's the Weekend Update guy, his mother was the chief medical examiner for New York Fire Department on September 11th. So she treated all of the first responders, and I'm pretty sure they got that term that day. You know, that I don't remember first responder.
But I think you're 11th. Right. Yeah.
She had a congressional. She gave a speech to Congress, and she's in charge of all the sickness from the dust and everything. And there's another guy on SNL right now whose father was supposed to be a firefighter who died that day. And it's like, but this is the show that predicted 9/11 in like 97 or something, you know, with did you ever see the Weekend Update thing?
Oh, is that the one with Colin? Yeah, I think I have seen
it. Colin Quinn. Yeah.
Yes.
That was so on point. And just if you remember after September 11th, they're like, oh, can we laugh again? And
yes,
had a big part in the media. I don't know.
Yeah, that's 9/11. Right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, and that reminds me, I think this has been on blogs before, but, or on forums before, but there's, before they even built the World Trade Center, a group ran an ad in the newspaper with the, you know, model of the World Trade Center, an airplane about to crash into it. So they were saying, back before it was even constructed in the 60s, there were people saying, it's going to be too high, the planes are going to crash into it. So.
Yeah,
well, they also said
they tell you they engineered it to be plane resistant.
Yes,
and all this, and they were even running drills that day that included things like that. You know, there's all these coincidences, but then Condoleezza Rice comes out on TV and says they could have never imagined that this would have ever happened.
But it was just on the X-Files or the spinoff or whatever. But there's all the evidence,
and then you hear that Mossad or, you know, all these different agencies warned them ahead of time. It's just a bunch of narrative.
Yeah. And I think they did a drill. I think I did some research a while back, and I think they had done some of these drills of an airplane hitting the Trade Center in the 70s or 80s prior to that. So it wasn't a new idea at all, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it happened to, what, the Empire State Building, or?
Supposedly, that's the story, right? That's the story. That's another one of these stories, but supposedly. Yeah, and I remember when 9/11 happened, the news media is even saying that the plane shouldn't have been able to do that, what happened. And they had, didn't they interview one of the architects or something of the World Trade Center? And I think he said it shouldn't have happened. But the point is that it's all steel around the perimeter of the World Trade Center. Of course it shouldn't have happened. You know what I mean? Like, of course it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, there's no, I don't, like I said in the podcast, now I'm at the point where I shouldn't have even need to see the fact that the footage is fake to know. Because there should have been bodies all over Lower Manhattan if a real plane was used. Think about it.
Sure.
Bodies and the luggage would be all over Lower Manhattan. mean, if you've ever seen the movie Millennium with Kris Kristofferson and Cheryl Ladd, it's a very strange movie, but it involves passenger jet crashes. And Kris Kristofferson is the investigator. And they show, you know, that they put it back together in the airport hangar, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the plane's, you know, the jet is, you know, all over the place. It's all pieces. They have to pick up all the pieces and put it back together. So, I mean, two jets hitting the Trade Center, you know, lower Manhattan would have been filled with plane debris, luggage.
Well, we did get an engine, even though it didn't match the official
the
plane.
Wrong one. Yeah, and then the passport was found next to it or whatever. Yeah. And the wrong one. Yeah, I know. It's not even the right one.
Yeah, you know, maybe somebody just bolted it on at the last minute. Who knows, right?
They don't even care.
It doesn't matter. But yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
We've been going a couple hours. That's pretty much my physical exhaustion
limit
for talking. Yeah. But
it was great talking to you.
No, it was fantastic talking to you. Fantastic website, AA Morris.
Right back at you.
Oh, thank you. .net. And you've got the 16 editions of the Propagander at Propaganda podcast. And that's at aamorris.net/podcast. And I've linked most of them, not every single one. You're a little too fast for me. You're fast and furious.
But, you don't need to link them, but thank
well,
you.
I link as many as I listen to that I can for sure. I'm still behind, but, if you could just put that, just make it a little easier to download.
I'll look into that, I promise.
Yeah, I know people like Not So Freemason. They also archive the stuff to their end, so just in case something goes down or something goes wrong.
Yeah, I would have been archiving things from Hoaxbusters Call had I realized they might not be, you know, their YouTube would go down, so.
Well, I did. I shared the link to all the videos.
Oh, good.
I've got the link on my site. I know it's hard to find because it just scrolls off in a pod. But but I also think that it's more important. The ideas we have now and the future podcasts are probably more important than the past because very few people go through the archives. That's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Most people are not digging onto my website from 2 years ago at all. It's just,
no, and I think you've said most people just look at the front page too.
Oh yeah.
Right? Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah.
Oh, they're on and they're off. We have the hardcore guys, of course, are digging deep, but overall people are just, what have you done for me lately? That's, that's really how it works.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So let's, just thank a few people. Let's thank, Not So Freemason for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Oh,
it was
you're
great
welcome.
Talking to you.
We had Rolo come through. We had Gaia. We tried to talk to English James.
Yeah, next time.
I think we got most. Did I miss anybody that came through the live stream there? If I did, apologize, but we got most of it. I'll post the notes that I create on the live stream show notes text channel. Some of the things we talked about. You got a link to Propaganda's blog there. And it's dense material. It's good. You really assemble the ideas. I'm pretty sure you're on board with just about every psyop and every fake event. I haven't really seen too much deviation from what we talk about.
Pretty much everything's fake.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's engineered, socially engineered. You got some good stuff about the children and social engineering. Culture creation, you just tie it all together. It's got our highest recommendation, my highest recommendation.
Oh, wow, thank you very much.
For sure.
I'm very flattered. Very, very
It's well deserved, and I'm hardly the only one that says that now. So you got to keep it up, keep going on it.
No. Thank you.
Well, even if you quit now, you've got a huge digest, a compendium, as it were, so. It's enough to last a couple of years of listening, so.
Thank you.
So you're welcome anytime on the live stream. I know you can just dump in anytime, and there's other people that you can talk to, and you can do anything, any promotion you want on the audio chat live stream, so. You've got your own site as well, so you'd hardly need it, but you know what you're doing.
Obviously.
But yeah, come on in anytime. So thanks.
I really appreciate that.
All right. Well, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next time. We'll come back soon.
Yeah. It was great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, AA.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye. Read all about their schemes and adventuring. Yes, it's well. Thank you for listening to Fakeologist Radio. We do this show most Saturday nights. We stream our show 24/7 at stream.fakeologist.com. Contact us at contact.fakeologist.com. Our archives are at radio.fakeologist.com. Our backup site is fakeologist.wordpress.com. We're dedicated to exploring the world of media fakery. Since you're aware, point others to our website and let them discover a reality that they probably never knew existed. But that's not right. Oh no, what's the story? Look, there's you and there's me.